Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Jeff Erickson here. Today is Wednesday, October 14th. And my guest co-host is my friend Matt Modica. Many of you who play the NFBC and the NFFC know him quite well. You can follow him on Twitter at CTM Baseball. Matt, welcome to the show. What's going on? How you doing?
Thank you for having me. Sorry I didn't get to see you in Arizona this year, but hopefully we'll be back next year.
Yeah, a lot of those hopefully be back, including in March for the NFBC. They announced their dates for the live events. So, hey, knock on wood, hopefully we get to do them now.
Yeah, I believe that's going to happen. I rebooked my flight, got my room. And the rates were actually really good for the room. So if anybody's interested, I'd look now. And, you know, I'm hoping everything's going to be fine come March.
Yeah. Knock on wood. I'm actually physically knocking on that tape. I'm hoping that happens. Lots of stuff to talk about. Let's jump right into the news. Started off, woke up this morning, found out that Melvin Gordon had been arrested for a DUI. And speeding by like 30 miles over the speed limit, probably is how he got caught in the first place. He met with Coach Vic Fangio and then was sent home, did not practice today. They play the Pats on Sunday. Keep in mind, this is a makeup of last week's COVID cancellation. So he's had plenty of time, and they played on a Thursday before that. So, you know, whatever knocks and bumps he had plenty of time to recover. In fact, Denver seems to be getting healthier as a whole, but they might not have Gordon this week.
Yeah, and for those of us, including myself, in at least a couple of leagues, if not more, Philip Lindsay's been someone that, you know, pretty much haven't been able to use. And, for the fantasy side, I'm hoping that I can insert him this week and good things could happen. As far as Melvin Gordon goes, I'm, happy no one was hurt and all that. And, hopefully that situation will work itself out.
Right. So I think the big question is, how much confidence would we have in Philip Lindsay, say, if Gordon doesn't play? Pats aren't exactly an easy matchup. I think you probably can run the ball against him, but it's not great. I right now, I've got him at 32, but this is prior to the Gordon news. I thought regardless he'd be active. I thought he'd be a part of it. Now, if he's he probably won't be the sole guy. Royce Freeman will probably get some work too. I'd probably put him up around 20 or so. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah, no, he's probably in that like low end RB2 with some upside. I mean, just if he gets the receptions fully healthy, we've seen what he can do with the ball in his hands. I have a couple of situations where I have to decide between him or James White. Both of the guys were targets of mine. You know, get that one running back at least. Sometimes you got the two, but if you didn't, you know, I doubled up there. So that'll be interesting come Sunday, you know, with that matchup. But I think Lindsey is going to have to catch some passes here and, you know, sustain some drives for them and stuff. So the Gordon situation, you know, just looking at the fantasy side, does add a positive to Philip Lindsey.
It does. It does. And he, check in your thinner leagues. Probably in the NFFC, he's gone. But, you know, you never know. Someone might have gotten impatient. Although chances are, if someone got impatient, someone else snatched him up in the ensuing week. But something to check on there and see if he's available. And, you know, your 12-team leagues with five-man benches, he might actually be out there. And, you know, you might be hurting this week. We got four teams on bye, some good teams on bye, too. No Seattle, no New Orleans, no Alvin Kamara for you this week.
No
Josh Jacobs for me. No DK Metcalf for me, for that matter, either. No Chargers either. So a very important bye week. So, you know, finding these scraps are important. Dalvin Cook been diagnosed with an adductor strain. We talked to Stefania Bell on from ESPN on our SiriusXM show today. She doesn't think he's going to be able to play. I tend to agree with that. Madison, I think the question is, does he catch passes too? Or do they intersperse someone like Ameer Abdullah in passing downs? I've got him top five among my running backs this week.
Look, this is the opportunity that you've been waiting. If he's been on your bench or if you've had the handcuff, I know some people swear by the handcuff, some people don't. I do it with certain running backs, and Madison is a guy. I mean, pretty much for me, I have some Tony Pollard, and yep. It was either Pollard or Madison at that spot. You had to choose one. So, you know. If you are a Dalvin Cook owner and you have him, you're just going to insert him and, you know, hopefully you got smooth sailing this week and, you know, you're not going to take too much of a hit from where you are. I think they have to. I mean, if I were them, why not give him the week? They got the bye coming up. It would make too much sense. You have a guy that can do the job.
Right. Mike Zimmer tried to kind of play a little coy, saying he hasn't ruled him out yet, but Cook did not. Cook did not practice today. I think it's pretty clear he's not going to be doing a whole lot this week. So we'll see. We'll see. But color me skeptical on Cook at all. Roll with him. Meanwhile, Christian McCaffrey did not practice today. Mike Davis, if you'd landed him in free agency, he's been a stud for you. It looks like you got another week with him. Although facing the Bears is not a great. It's not that bad of a matchup. I vividly recall Roquan Smith still missing Ronald Jones every time he had a chance to tackle him. So maybe Davis still is up for a pretty big game this week.
Look, I mean, he's just it's been a fantastic fill-in. That's really all I can say. And I mean, Carolina just signed him. I think you're rolling him out. You got him. I'm not putting him down. I don't care what the matchup is. If McCaffrey's not going, he's just been too good.
Yep. And Carolina, I mean, McCaffrey's theirs for the long term. He's, mm-hmm. you know, you paid for him. Don't break him. You know, might as well take the extra week to make sure he comes back. And I think they've proven, too, that they can win. You know, they can win without him. They'd prefer not to. But it also shows that, hey, we don't have to panic. We don't have to rush him back. We can get by. So I actually like Carolina this week beating the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, I mean, what a disaster for that franchise. I mean, that GM, I mean, the bright spot was Nick Foles coming in and, you know, at least Allen Robinson's, you know, getting the love he deserves.
But right. They're the least respected 4-1 team I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a paper tiger.
Yeah, it really I agree with that. It's more like a cuddly bear than a grizzly bear, but we'll see. Boy, I'm Jim Coventry. I'm glad I'm not doing this podcast with Jim. He'd tear me apart.
The Bears. I don't know if you had it for later, but it seems like the trendy spot, and people are saying, I don't know if it was Barnwell who said it, so a couple of the other people, Le'Veon Bell possibly landing there.
Yeah, I could see it. And yeah, let's talk Lev Bell. It's, you know, it handled it as smoothly as you would expect by the Jets. You know, they let it leak that they're trying to trade him, and then like 8 hours later, oh, sorry, we've released him. Obviously, everyone they called would laughed at him, especially perhaps for the asking price. Or maybe they just wanted to get rid of him. You know, I will say, I like Lev Bell, and we all hate Adam Gase. I think that's pretty easy to say. There's probably where there's some smoke, there's some fire there too, though, with Bell, that he's probably a pain in the butt to deal with. May be worth it to have him, but he's probably a pain.
Yeah, I think you're a team that you have to need him, and you have to have playoff aspirations where he can help you. It's not a situation where you're going to take him on if you're just, you know, building for the future, Chris. I think that's a snapshot of a player who ruined a fantastic career. It wasn't like he went out and made tons more money after sitting out that season, and he was in a perfect spot. It's kind of tragic, in my opinion.
It is. It is. I mean, from the moment he signed with the Jets, it just wasn't working. You know, as soon as Gase got hired by the Jets, that made it worse. You know, he made it clear that he wouldn't have made that signing. They got the GM fired who signed him. I mean, this was a match made in hell. And here we are, it ends. So even if he signs this week, chances are he's not going to be heavily involved in the offense that first week with the team, wherever he signs. And he may not sign this week either. So I kind of buried him at the bottom of my rankings, just above the injured guys. But, yeah, we'll see. I think if he signs today, it's going to be like Leonard Fournette in week one, where he's learning the offense. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, no, I think if you own Lev Bell, you're just hoping for the optimal landing spot, and I can't see how you play him this week. I mean, you'd have to be in a situation where, you know, you pretty much, your running backs are on buys or injured.
Right. Speaking of Fournette, though, how about Rojo? Looking good on Thursday night against the Bears, mostly looking good against the Chargers, although he had a couple of drops. Yeah, does he hold on to the job, or do they go back to a timeshare?
You know what? I don't really know what to make out of this. I think I have one Leonard Fournette share, and that was like in the middle of the fifth round. I took him, and, you know, he had that one good game. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, Rojo, he gets, you know, he's getting the love from the coach, and he looked good against the Bears, like you said. It's just a situation that, I mean, I would give him the inside track going forward, obviously, but not one that I'm enamored with.
For sure. I get it. I get all the reasons. And, you know, just start with the coach. I mean, it's so hard to trust him. He benches guys, maybe not on a whim, but for reasons that we wouldn't think they should be benched. And so that makes it harder to trust. And certain guys get that treatment and others don't. So I do have him on my primetime team. The price was right. I think it was like eighth or ninth round. So it's like, sure. Okay. And now I'm kind of using. I got to use him this week. I don't have Jacob, so I have to kind of go with him. So we'll see. Knock on wood again. Second knocking of wood already in this podcast. Yeah, you know, big matchup too. Again, the Battle of the Bays, Green Bay, Tampa Bay. What do you make out of that game?
Look, I mean, I'll be straight honest. I'm hoping Aaron Jones goes off. He's on that primetime team. Andy Jackson and I have. We were able to weather the storm this past weekend without him. We put up 180. And, you know, a guy like J.D. McKissick came in and put like 10.5 points, 11 points up. And that's what you kind of need. And, you know, other guys got to produce. But, I mean, I'm going to give the, you know, Rodgers seems to be on a bit of a mission here. And I'm still skeptical of Green Bay as well, but I like what they've done so far, so I'm going to give them a little advantage.
Yeah, it makes sense. Boy, you did really have it. You did come through. I screwed up this past week, and I don't know if you listened to the show or list threw me under the bus, but I have two defenses. They were playing each other last weekend, except they weren't playing. I had New England and Denver, because I streamed Denver for that Jets game.
Yes.
And then I had a brain fart. I didn't drop them and stream anyone. But, you know, as of Saturday night, they were playing still, too. I think I learned a lesson, though. If you're going to carry two defenses, and you should, then you need to make sure they're not playing each other. In the COVID era, you need to be on top of that sort of thing. So I will stream a defense this week.
And real quick, with the COVID era, everybody knew what they were getting into with the football. The rules was stated ahead of time. Look, it's a headache. It's horrible. It's not fun. I didn't, you know, baseball, I drafted my last draft on April 15th, and I really didn't pay attention to anything for 3 months. And then it came back, and I still wasn't sure baseball was going to be played. But if you sign up to play it, you really can't bitch and moan about the stuff because you knew what you were getting into. That's basically my point.
And I was not of the legions of people begging for a third fab period. I made a mistake. You move on.
Yeah. And look, we all do. Sometimes, you know, things just – you're like, how the hell did I miss that? And it happens.
Yep, exactly. As soon as that announcement came, I scrambled like – oh, my other defense is Denver. Oh, that's the league. Oh, where I have those two. It happens. But, it won't happen again. That's one thing.
Sure about that.
And the thing is, Greg, because we've seen the contrast. I have a Yahoo league. I have three leagues on Yahoo, and we do a lot of business with them, and they're great partners. They made a decision to push back the Tuesday night fab to Wednesday night. You know, I don't think you should be doing that. But at least, I think it was uniform across their leagues, you know. I understand why they did it, but I wouldn't have done it that way. And you know, Greg has been very forthright. He's like, I can't make in season changes like that. I just can't. And
he's 100% right. He's 100% right.
Yep. And so, good on him. And I listened to this. I was off on Monday, so I listened to the segment he did with Liss and Joe Bartle, and I think his logic was very persuasive. Plus, I mean, you keep making all these changes and you're constantly on call. You can't do that. So I'm on board with his decision-making process. In a national contest, it's different in your home league. I mean, you can manage to say, if he doesn't play, this is my replacement. Or you can have first come, first serve a lot easier. You can't do that in a national contest.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've done to make it easier is basically it's pretty much strictly now going to be NFBC, NFFC. I do my one home league in Staten Island with some friends I get to see once a year and hang out and have a fun night. But, I mean, otherwise, I just keep it this way. It's less headaches, less sights, and, you know, I'm not trying to kill any sights or say anything bad about it. It's just what I prefer. That's all. It's just my personal preference, and everything's uniform and everything's in order.
That's right. Hey, let's talk a little Buffalo and Tennessee. And I know it's a sore subject because you're a Buffalo guy, right?
I think the Titans just scored again.
Yeah, I think they did. I think you know, they missed Tre'Davious White in so many different ways in that game. That was tough. It was tough to watch Josh Norman. I think he just got up from that toss. Because he exited the universe for a little bit and then came back in. Reentry was a little tricky, but wow. I kind of treat that as a one-off, except now they have to turn around and face the Chiefs. I mean, that's a tough 1-2 combo.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they get two games on, you know, two national games that I've been waiting for so long. And now all of a sudden it's, you know, after getting given up 40-something points, they're going to face the Chiefs. And I know they're home. What was even worse was watching A.J. Brown score a touchdown, who's been on my bench, and, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. If you own A.J. Brown and you got him back, regardless if you started him or not, you got to be excited for that. The way Ryan Tannehill is playing, you know, you might have thought last year was just a fluke and it went well, but this team looks for real. And Henry is the classic, you know, second half of the season is when he goes off. So if you're a Titans fan, you got to be feeling really good today.
Yeah, they got through that. And I tweeted out, a lot of people related this. I have A.J. Brown in three leagues, and I didn't have the courage to start him. You know, I was surprised the game happened. You know?
Yeah, well, like you said, that's a tough call. It was on Tuesday. If they would have had if anybody, even if it was like a false positive, that game would not have happened. So right. I can't blame you there.
Yeah. And yeah, it was like to start Traquan Smith. I was like, that wasn't so great, but it happens. AJ Brown going forward, top 15 receiver for you?
You know what? I haven't looked at his rankings like that, but if he's 100% healthy, I think he's got to be in the conversation at least.
Yeah. I mean, you're starting him. Let's look at
him. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's you know, we play in the 3 wide receiver league, so yeah, he's definitely in my lineup.
Yeah, that's for sure. Julio Jones may not be in your lineup this week if you have him anywhere. Hamstring injury kept him out last week, did not practice today. Wasn't able to practice at all last week. Had the setback, you know, missed a game, then tried to come back. Had the setback on the Monday night loss to the Packers. You hate seeing that. You just, like, take your time. Falcons are 0-5. I mean, they've already fired their coach. There's no, you know, there's no need to rush them back right now. There's no incentive whatsoever.
Absolutely not. Calvin Ridley's been a real breach. Oh, look at, I mean, Todd Gurley's been getting the touchdowns and putting up some points there, but I mean, Ridley's been the guy. Matt Ryan, the last couple of weeks, just really headed south. And, you know, I guess if you're a Matt Ryan owner, I own him in my home league. That's the only one. And it looked great the first couple of weeks, but it hasn't looked so good the last. So, I mean, Matt Ryan is a guy I don't think you can just automatically say, I'm plugging and playing him anymore. So,
yeah. I think that's right. And I had this beautiful Ryan, Julio, Ridley stack in the DraftKings best ball. And for 3 weeks, I'm like, yeah, this is looking pretty good. And not so much anymore. It's been tough. Really tough.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah. I think they will go back to putting up some numbers. But one of the takeaways, though, is with the new coaching staff, maybe they throw the ball less frequently. I know, you know, Ryan was throwing 45 times a game. And that might change. They may decide that, hey, we need to grind a little bit more, cover our defense.
I mean, that had to be evident early on, though. Sure. They blowing that game to the Cowboys. They should have beat the Bears.
Yep. Oof. Yeah, and we've discussed our opinion of the Bears and their the truthiness of their 4-1 record. So we'll see. One other injury note, Cam Newton. Looks like he's, you know, estimated practice today. They didn't actually practice, but he looks like he's going to practice tomorrow. It looks like he'll return. You know, it's always dicey with more COVID business here, but everything looks positive for him coming back for this Denver game.
Yes, if he's out of the woods, I know there's dispute if he could be reinfected or not, but I got to think there's some immune ability he's got in his body if he's over it. And, you know, that could be going forward for them. You know, Cam's a guy I got as a backup on a couple of teams. I just thought you had to take a shot with him. I've always been a fan. Belichick brought him in, so he usually knows how to use people. And I think if you got Cam, you know, stashed away and he's one of your quarterback options, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I agreed. And I do have him in a few places. I have him like 4 leagues. So, yeah, it'd be nice if he could come back. Quick note from one of our sponsors, Prediction Strike is a fantasy sports stock market on which you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. Ever heard someone say, I've had stock in this player since day one? Well, now, Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. You had stock in Patrick Mahomes' rookie year. You knew this would happen. Now it's a reality. Create a portfolio of all your favorite athletes and get closer to the game than ever before. To get started, simply visit PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players, just like you would real stocks. Each game is like an earnings report. If the player beats his projections, his stock moves up. It's that easy. You can trade your shares of players at any time as long as the player isn't currently in a game. Get started today by visiting PredictionStrike.com and sign up with code ROTOWIRE to get an additional $10 on your first deposit of $20 or more. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Matt Modica, veteran high-stakes fantasy sports player, both baseball and football. Matt and I kind of had a tussle last year in the Classic. You won the regular season overall, if I recall correctly.
Yes, that is correct. And we finished second in the playoffs. Kudos to the Hall of Famers that took us down. You'll know him on Twitter as Coyote Streakers. Mike Santos, he's a hell of a player, and his partner, yep, Kirk. So shout out to them.
Yeah, indeed. And you and Andy Sexton have paired up, and you've got another high-flying team this year in the prime time. You're currently fourth overall in the points. I noticed the top four teams are all Alvin Kamara teams. You got him at seventh, though, somehow.
Yes, that was around the time with the trade talks, and he had the back stuff going on. There was a couple of things going on, and I seemed to get seven in all the drafts I was doing late, and was he was there. No, I think we probably had it from like one to probably nine, I would say. You know, I liked all the players in that range. I was looking more for that, first half, uh-huh, of it. So, getting him and then pairing him up with a guy that I got to give Andy credit. He was talking him up. I know he's got him on a couple of other teams. That's Aaron Jones.
Him that late in the second round is just, it's so pretty. I never understood why he fell so far. He didn't in my leagues. So my team, I drafted 10th. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I took Joe Mixon ahead of him, but Jones went at 2.2. I took Josh Jacobs 2.3 instead. But I would have taken Jones, had Jacobs been gone, choosing between Jacobs and Jones would have been the tough call for me.
Yeah, and what was great about this league is Andy's really not a guy that likes to play the prime time, even though we've had success in the past. But it was the charity league that The Miz and I forget the other guy's name, I apologize, put together. Oh, yeah. It was a Sunday afternoon and all that. And like I said, we started off with Kamara and Jones, and we were able to build, a hell of a receiving core. Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf. We got a couple other guys here. We got, Edelman, Sanders that we could put in. So, and Stephon Diggs. I forgot about my boy Diggs. Yeah, I knew there was somebody I was missing.
He's been. And he fits in very well with Josh Allen. It's funny. Where it's like, oh, great, he got away from Cousins. Oh, it's Josh Allen. Oh, no, it turns out that's pretty good.
I think that's what Josh Allen really needed. Because I think this kid – I've always been a big Diggs fan, and having him on my team – he was the only bright spot last night.
Yeah. Yeah, that first drive was crazy. Kept on getting out of, like, third and 15s, and, they'd take a penalty. Okay, wipe off a play. No problem. We'll make another play. Kept doing that. Yeah. I've noticed the top four teams in the primetime all are Kamara guys. And then seven out of the top nine. So,
the one thing too, if you look at it, it's pretty much from pick five and above for the top 20. I think there's only two teams with the top pick that are in the top, say 15.
Yep.
And I'm assuming they had Mike Davis, rostered.
Yeah. They were either able to pick him up or they did the usual, they just did the handcuff there too. You're probably right about that.
Yeah, nobody with the second pick is up there. So
what have you learned so far from this season? It's been a higher scoring season. Have any grand takeaways so far from this season?
No, it's just trying to have depth, and I think that's. You always want to have depth and. Where you were having problems being able to get that guy, like our tight end position was Hooper. I forget who else we had. We got rid of that. We were able to get Ebron. Somebody dropped him, and we scooped him up. So now that's looking like a better scenario. Mm-hmm. Our running back depth, though, that's the one spot I'm worried about. Like I said, McKissick was able to fill in last week. We're going to need him this week against the Giants. The one thing that really hurt us that we wanted, it wouldn't have mattered to this point, but going forward, I think it'll play a big part, was, it was like the ninth round, eighth, whatever it was. And we had Phillip Lindsay lined up, and The Miz took him from us.
Oh.
And we wound up taking Matt Brader. Matt Brady's been non-existent.
Yes, he has. That's one of the things. It's like there's been very few good fab targets. Miles Gaskin was one of those.
Yes, I have him on two other teams, but I do not have him on this one.
I do have him on my prime. I spent about 170 in fab on him. I got him, I think, in all three NFFC leagues that I'm in, which is rare. Roughly around the same price point too. So that worked out. But like I got Mike Davis in lots of leagues, just not in the NFFC environment. You have to train yourself to learn how to be aggressive enough to get that one difference maker in the NFFC.
That is so true. That is so true. And yeah, I had nice high aggressive bids, and I think I taped them down a little, and I missed out. And I'm sorry. I've been sorry for that ever since.
Yeah. Each week there's been like one guy, whether it's Gaskin or Justin Jefferson 1 week or Mike Davis. The Mike Davis week was big because there were multiple guys that you could go after. But It was kind of like Fabageddon in baseball in 2019. Yes. There were a lot of landmines there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it was in my RotoWire Online Championship. I'm not up at the top there, but my team's 5-0. And just looking at it earlier, like a couple of weeks back, I forget who I put the dollar on. I had Claypool for like a dollar, maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was.
Right.
And I forget who I put. It was some veteran guy who hasn't done nothing, who I cut the following week. And I could have had Claypool for a buck just sitting on my bench. Right. But, that's what happens.
It is. By the way, same guy is leading both the online and the primetime. Duke Viveros. That's pretty impressive.
That's damn impressive. I mean, Duke, he's been around for a long time. And, that's extremely impressive.
It is.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, that's something. My online teams are just middle of the road, so we'll see. But busy week. If Chase Claypool is available in your league, or if Travis Fulgham is available in your league, how aggressive are you going to be?
I mean, with Claypool, I would be aggressive, and here's why. I kind of faded Juju because I liked Deontay Johnson a lot coming into the year. Uh-huh. And Deontay Johnson was looking really good. And then they did that run play inside like the 10-yard line where he just got laid out a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And then he's got the back issue. And it just gave Claypool the opportunity. I mean, we saw some flashes early on. So, I mean, out of those three, if all three are healthy, I mean, I think Juju is pretty much touchdown dependent at this point. And I really want Claypool going forward. I mean, maybe he turns out not to be anything, but you've seen guys like Odell Beckham have insane rookie leagues. And, after, 6 weeks or so, you got to take some shots here. And you got a quarterback like Ben. You got this offense. Deontay Johnson's got a back injury. Juju, what has he got? Like the most yardage was like 60 yards on, in a game. So I'm going to do it. In my home league, we play with real money. And we have Deontay Johnson. I thought we had a really good team, but we're somehow 1-4. And we probably put, I think it was $69 real money on him.
Uh-huh.
So let's see what happens out of 200.
All right. It'll be interesting to see what you get him. If in like the NFFC, chances are Claypool's gone already.
Yeah.
Is available in my prime time. But here's the problem, though. Faces Baltimore this week.
Yes. But I mean, what I really don't understand with this Eagles is, with Deshaun Jackson, he's old and he's always hurt. Mm-hmm. I get it. The other guy was still coming back from injuries, and the Goddard goes down, and Zach Ertz does absolutely nothing. I thought he'd be like a beast. Like,
right.
So somebody's got to catch the ball. And I got Greg Ward for cheap a few weeks back, and sure, he's like a bench guy. He stick in, hopefully catches a touchdown and, seven passes. But, I don't know. Who else is there, really?
Yeah.
So, if you start succeeding, he caught a touchdown pass the week before. I know it was only on like two or three targets. But, I don't know who else is there.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I need a receiver. I'm staring down the barrel of Anthony Miller or John Brown starting for me this week. I mean,
And John Brown's an if.
Right. You know, it's a big if, and it's Monday night. It's like, do I want to wait it out and then he doesn't play? That's the disaster. I can't have that. So my current options are Brown, James Washington, or Anthony Miller. And Anthony Miller, he's a devalued stock. Can't use him, really. So I may be forced to go aggressively. And fortunately, by the time this gets posted, most of my league mates will not be listening to this anyhow, probably. But in case they are, they won't have enough time to react to it and try to block me. But that's one where I'm really looking to see what I can do. I mean, this is my tough week.
Just like you said, here's the important thing to me and what people should be. You got Kamara on a bye, right?
I don't have Kamara. I'm the only one in the top five that doesn't have Kamara.
Okay. But I mean, like, if you had, say, Kamara, like, and you needed that receiver or whatever, like, you don't have Jacobs this week, excuse me. You need to fill that spot and get some points. And, you know, a guy coming off 13 targets, but really nobody else out there on that team. You got to keep it going. Like, my goal, like I tell Andy every week, where our goal is we want to try and hit that 170, at least get 170, you know, so you can stay up top. You want to try and stay up. I mean, we got 180, and I was, like, ecstatic. And we almost benched Diggs. But I was like, you know what, let's just roll out with Diggs. You know, our other options weren't really great. And I said, if they don't play, they don't play, but at least we got a shot. And it worked out. He put up a nice 20 spot.
Indeed. That's always beautiful when that happens. So I'm looking at Fulgham or Randall Cobb or Curtis Samuel, who's got injuries again. He sat out practice today. So Amendola against the Jacksonville Jaguars might be a sneaky, interesting play. Yeah. Stafford loves to hit him on third down. Jacksonville can't defend very well. And whatever resources they have are going to dedicate towards Galladay and Marvin Jones. He might be my Huckleberry this week. We'll see.
Yep,
I might be overthinking it.
It's you know, it's going to be something where you're going to, you know, hopefully get the best option you got and say a little prayer. you get those double digits at him.
Right. So, yeah, sometimes you have to dig deep to find any help. But, yeah, Fulgham is the leader in the clubhouse. Do you find yourself in here's one of the traps I find myself in sometimes is I find – couple teams of my teams are off to better starts. I spend a lot of time obsessing about them when I should be spending more time trying to fix the teams that aren't really dead yet, but need some help.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm always going to tend to the teams that are doing well, but that's the thing. This is why I love playing fantasy football on the NFFC, no matter where. If you play it on the RotoWire online, you know, or you pay the higher stake leagues, is they're basically points leagues. So you could be, you know, 2-3 or 1-4, but, you know, I mean, you could put up 160 points and still lose. So you're still involved, and it's just you want to just keep getting better or keep it rolling. So I think it's such a better way to play fantasy football.
Oh, I agree.
So that keeps you in. So I'm not really looking at records. I'm looking at, you know what, I had A.J. Brown. He hasn't been in my lineup. Or say I had A.J. Brown and I had Philip Lindsay that I basically haven't played all year. And I'm in, you know, I got the 6 most points. Okay, we still got, what, eight more games in the regular season or so. So, you know, I can still make moves. You know, I don't have to be the number one guy, but, you know, I could be number two, or I could be that third guy to get into the dance as well. You're looking at the overall and playing that. I just think that makes it such a much more fun and competitive game.
Agreed. Keep grinding. Keep compiling. Like you said, just keep plugging in. Get through your tough weeks. This will be my toughest week. No Russell Wilson, no DK Metcalf, no Jacobs. This is going to be ugly.
I'm not happy about having no DK. No DK is going to hurt. But
he's definitely been. I think that's another commonly rostered guy among the top teams. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I have to say him and I mean, I got to think the Russell Wilson teams are up there. I mean, I either have Kyler Murray or Pat Mahomes as my quarterback in the NFFC. I only did a few leagues, but it's, I think, 3-2 Murray Mahomes. So those are the guys. I wouldn't mind Wilson either. He was in that group. It's a shame if you had Dak. I mean, I feel bad for Dak on a personal level.
Right.
With that contract and stuff, and you know, you don't want to see somebody get hurt in that situation.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, yeah, that thing is like investing in those mid-tier quarterbacks was a sweet spot this year. You get Russell mm-hmm. Wilson in the sixth round, you get Dak in the fifth, or Kyler Murray in the fifth or sixth. It's sometimes I'm pretty adamant about waiting on quarterbacks, and it's worked for me. We all got Lamar late last year. We got Mahomes late the year before. But the sweet spot was the 3-6 range this year.
Mm-hmm. That it has. But I still think Mahomes is going to do some serious damage as the season progresses. I'm just hoping that they get the kid involved in the passing game, you know, Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Same here. All right, quick other note before we move on. Are you dominating your fantasy football league like Matt Modica is? Well, now there's another game you need to play. Imagine fantasy, but for horse racing. StableDuel is live with daily contests offering thousands of dollars to be won each week. Download the StableDuel app, create your account, and start selecting your horses today. Compete against other players for winner's circle glory and big money prizes. New to racing? Not to worry. StableDuel is simple and fun with low-level entries and big payouts. Name your stable, select 10 horses within your bankroll, and watch each horse accumulate points depending on where they finish. Invite friends to compete against and show them who dominates at all sports, including the sport of kings. Download the StableDuel app and build your stable today. Get in on the action of StableDuel. Play, race, win. Matt, do you play the ponies at all?
No, I've gone to the track a couple of times, and I find that fun. Yeah. I think one of the Derby days, me and my friend left. We got home, and his father called me. He's like, "No, you won money," so we had to drive back and
good problem to have
and cash those tickets. So we didn't even know we won.
Nice. I live 10 minutes from Santa Anita, so it's a beautiful track. Okay. We'll go like once every other year. But I don't really know a whole lot there. But
yeah, that was the last time I went. I was living in LA at the time. So
you lived out here. When did you live out here?
I've lived out there from say 2006 to 2010-ish, 2011. Okay. I was right in Hollywood.
Okay.
On Cherokee and Franklin. Okay. You know, I was at that time. I was working in the movie industry and stuff, so it was a perfect location. I was in Burbank all the time, and so nice. Wasn't a bad commute, like 3 miles.
Not bad at all. not bad at all. Very cool. I do not know the Beverly Hills area, the Hollywood area, very well at all, but that's okay. I'm like the one, you know. One person that moved out here wasn't intending to be in the business whatsoever. So, I'm fine with that though too.
I will say though, if you ever do like, oh, you want to get away for a night or two, and you don't want to leave there. The Beverly Hills Hotel is probably my favorite hotel of all time. Before I moved there, I used to stay. It's a fantastic thing. You and the wife would like.
Maybe a good weekend getaway. We should do that at some point. Let's look a little bit at this week. Some interesting matchups. We mentioned Tampa Bay, Green Bay a little bit. What do you expect to happen in this game?
I'm going to go. I mean, I don't think, you know, Tampa, I don't think it's gelled yet. And I think we saw what Rodgers could do. I know the Saints aren't at, you know, full strength and all that. He went on the road. I'm going to keep my money on Rodgers here. I think they get it done. I know it's going on the road again. I think it's a tight game, but I think Green Bay pulls it out.
All right. I could see that happening. How about a couple other games? It's not as loaded of a slate as we've seen in other weeks. This is kind of one of those down weeks when that's your big battle. Baltimore-Philly is an interesting one. Honestly, The Ravens looked a little off against my Bengals offensively. Defensively, they looked phenomenal. But, you know, Lamar Jackson dealt with an illness and a sore knee last week. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they purposefully were kind of like throttling him down a little bit this week. Do you get that impression?
Yeah, I think this is a great matchup for the Ravens, and I think they're going to steamroll the Eagles here. I think if you saw what Claypool was able to do, I think Hollywood Brown, you've seen it the last couple of weeks, the targets have been increasing and all that, and the air yards and everything. And if you own Hollywood Brown, you're very excited for this weekend. So, but the one thing I got J.K. Dobbins in a couple of weeks, I've had to put him in, and he gets that 8 to 10 points when you got that bye or something, you had to shove somebody in. But I would love to see that kid get a bigger role.
I was just going to say, that's been one of the more frustrating running back situations this year. It's a three-headed monster, kind of like the Rams, except at least the Rams have had a couple guys produce. It's just probably, can you time the market okay on them? But
yeah,
You know, right now it's hard to start any Ravens running back with a whole lot of confidence.
No, they're like flex plays or, you know, bye week. It's three-headed monster.
Yeah, it's tough. And trying to rank them like I do my rankings every week, you can't have any of them over 25 or so. You know, Ingram, wait, it's not entirely true. What did I have Ingram at this week? Yeah, this is great podcasting right here. Just me looking things up. 24. That was close. So that's one that's going to be a little frustrating. Houston, Tennessee. We already talked about the Tennessee side of things. How about Houston though? New coach, at least interim coach, in Romeo Crennel. They played pretty well, though. Jacksonville kind of self-immolated as well at times in that game. That made the margin a lot wider than it probably should have been. But they're kind of freed from the Bill O'Brien weight around their neck. What do you expect out of this game?
I mean, the Titans got to be feeling good with a Monday night victory. I mean, you got Watson, the Watson to Fuller connection. I mean, as long as Will Fuller can stay healthy, he's going to put up points every week. You know, he's going to make those catches. I mean, they have an array of receivers. You know, David Johnson, he isn't what he was, and he's not the crap he was last year. So, but I just think Tennessee overall is just a better team. And I think you're starting to get, you get a guy like Brown back and stuff, and another week of Henry to start beating on people. I like the trajectory they're going.
Oh, yeah. I think Henry's going to have a day. That's for sure. Brandon Cooks had a big game last week on everybody's benches. do you dare start him if you have him anywhere?
I mean, like you said, if you got the bye weeks and stuff, injuries, I see a lot of people having to play him. I've gotten some questions from my friends in my home league and in their other leagues. And, yeah, I mean – it's, you know, I got guys like Jerry Jeudy in my lineup this week and stuff.
Yeah, I can see it. I don't love the matchup against the Pats, but I can see it. Jeudy, all it takes is one play. That's the thing.
Exactly. Like, you know, you get open. Hopefully Gilmore doesn't play.
Right. And that's just the thing, too. You don't know if he's going to be able to go. It looks like Cam will, but, you know, we'll see. It's tough. Last one I wanted to bring up, Pittsburgh-Cleveland. Two teams that are one 4-0 team and another one that's 4-1. Yet I still think Pittsburgh rolls in this one. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, look, I'll root for the Browns because, you know, Cleveland's been Cleveland for so long. But I think the Steelers are going to punch him in the mouth again when push comes to shove here. And the ascension of maybe this kid Claypool here. No, the Browns have played very well. I think they're going to get punched in the mouth. I do think the Browns will put up a better fight than they have. So.
Yeah, that's Mayfield's banged up. I'd like to see them with Chubb in this one. I think it changes things. They can't punch back as well. They have to dance around a little bit more. I've got Beckham in my primetime league and. You know, I got to roll with him. I mean, I'm never benching him anyhow, but I'm not loving this matchup, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, and you said the shoulder. I mean, that combination of Chubb and Hunt is just when, you know, it's unfortunate for, you know, the Chubb owners and for the Cleveland Browns, but that is a nice 1-2 combo.
It certainly is. Anything else you're looking forward to this week? Any other matchup you're like, oh, I'm looking forward to this one? I imagine you're a Kyler Murray guy. You got to be loving the Dallas game.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, be looking for that. In that game, I'm going to see if, you know, Andy Dalton, you'd know better, but I always remember he kind of liked the tight end in the red zone. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping, you know, Dalton Schultz can get some love there.
Yeah.
So that game, I'll be definitely keyed in on.
I'm feeling Chris Berman doing his Schultz impersonation from Hogan's Heroes right now. I can feel that coming, but all right. Yeah,
that's really, I mean, it's not too, like you said, not too great of a week. I guess the Rams 49ers is a game I still want to pay attention to and, you know, see what happens there. Because it's a big game for the Niners. You know, Rams could go 5-1, Niners drop to 2-4. That's going to, you know, with Seattle in that division, that's going to be tough.
Put them in a really bad spot. Got one question from the Draft Champions podcast. Asked, rank the following in confidence to start for the rest of the season. The three Pittsburgh receivers and T. Higgins. How would you, and I'm assuming he's not including James Washington in that. So we'll go Juju, Claypool, Deontay, and T. Higgins. Rank those four.
I mean, Juju, I really, like I said, I wasn't on. If Deontay Johnson was 100%, I really like him. Deontay Johnson at 100%, I would put it one. I mean, I mean, Juju's going to be like 3 or 4 for me. It's who do I put 2 and 3 is really going to be the question. It's going to be telling how and if Claypool can ascend here. I'm kind of, you know, willing to bet on that it might come. So Higgins is probably 3rd because he's got the rookie quarterback. I think Juju's touchdown dependent right now. I thought Deontay was better than him to begin with. If you look at the targets and stuff, you put Higgins and Juju up in targets, they're looking kind of similar.
Yeah, I think you're right. And degree of confidence is the problem. I don't have a degree of confidence in any of these really on a given week. That's the problem.
But I don't have the confidence, but I would like to be sitting with – I'd put it this way. I'd feel more confident with the other three than Juju. And that's something I can't believe I'm saying, even though, even if I was fading him going into the year.
Right.
I still can't believe that, you know, 6 weeks in.
Somehow I don't have him in any of my 12 or 13 leagues. Mm-hmm. Just I forget the exact. I think it's 13, actually. But I don't have him. So I don't have that angst, that existential angst about him. I just have it when I rank him. That's about it.
Now watch, Juju's going to go out and score like 4 touchdowns this week. Put him 200 yards. Oh, yeah.
He will have one of those games at some point.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be when I'm playing him in the most of my leagues. But you know, that's actually almost a lead pipe cinch. You know, that happens. I got Kittle a couple of weeks ago. It's like, yeah, I have Kittle in a couple leagues, but I was up against him in many more. I was up against the Burkhead week in a couple leagues. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how things shift. Look at the Seattle game, the last 2 minutes.
Yep.
In my home league, we had this thing wrapped up, it looked like. And then he had Wilson and Metcalf, and we wound up losing by like a point. It was crazy.
I benefited more than I got hurt by that. So that's
I was happy about the make. Because in my bigger money leagues, I got him in like 3 spots. So I was like, yeah, I'll take it.
And it is funny, though. It's like when you play in a lot of leagues, you kind of have to go with the portfolio approach. Like, okay, well, I have him more than I don't. So I'll take the losses where I was unlucky to go against them in that particular league.
Yeah, I mean, it's like buying a stock. If you spend, you know, if you buy $100 stock, it's got a lot. Well, it can go down a lot for, you know, as opposed to that $15 stock.
Exactly.
There's a lot more pain that could happen.
For sure. All right, that's going to wrap up today's show. Matt, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, this was great. Thanks a lot. Like I said, sorry I didn't get to see you in Arizona, but looking forward to seeing you in Vegas.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It does mean a ton for us. Coming up tomorrow, got John McKechnie. Got Is it John? And John and Mario are hosting, as always, on Thursday. Thanks again for listening to RotoWire. Have a great day.